In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, we send our peace and blessings upon our dear and beloved Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa and his progeny and those companions who followed their path. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. In this couple of programs, we have been talking about Judaism and the Zionist entity. And in this program, we will continue in depth, talk about the Israeli regime and the policies behind it. We have our dear experts, one in the studio and one in London. Our dear expert in the studio is Sheikh Dawoodi. Sheikh Dawoodi, assalamu alaikum and welcome to our studio. And once again, thank you for giving us your time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I am so happy that we are going to have a good discussion, inshallah.
Inshallah ta'ala. And in London, we have our dear Sheikh Ahmad Hanif joining us there. And now my colleague, Ms. Sadiq Yan, who will help me hosting this program.
Mercy was created by Allah, the Most Merciful, and His name. Brothers and sisters, friends and companions, Assalamu alaikum. I'm Elahi Sadiq Yan with you, and this is Open Talk. Thank you for watching, and may Allah help us and accept our efforts and the treasure store of His mercy and kindness. Stay with us after a short break. Dear Palestinians, peace be upon you.
Another kid sent out to get some bread. Not the first murder, nor the last. Again and again, a repetition of the past. If these walls could speak, imagine what would they say. For me, this path that I walk on is only one way.
Try not to cry.
Thanks for watching a live broadcast of Open Talk, televised on Sahar TV Network. Thank you for your company, dear viewers. Come and visit our page, Facebook page, and our comments. Brother Wahid, the same as usual, our brothers and sisters are with us. This week we had a picture with a placard saying that Israel wants peace. And our brothers and sisters commented, Sister Batul, thank you, from her experience. In the Palestinian Solidarity event, a lady who is an active member of it told us that there is a minority of Israelis who are anti-Zionism, and this was quite a surprise for me. Hope Victory, thank you, Sister. There are Jews for peace everywhere, even in Israel. There are Jews who defend the Palestinians everywhere. There are Zionists among Christians and Muslims, and even worse, who are killing innocent people in Syria, who are among the terrorists there. So please don't generalize and accuse all good people on earth.
Very good. Very good comment.
Yes. And Brother Haider, if Israel wants peace, why there is no peace? Mm. And Brother Muhammad Akil, dozens of Israeli teenagers have refused to enlist in the military in protest against crimes committed by Israel against Palestinians. Thank you. Stay with us and follow our program and our comments also. Brother Wahid.
Thank you very much. Sheikh Dawoodi. Now, at a time when we see many African countries boycotting and refusing to recognize Israel, even some South American countries, refusing to have any political or economical relationship with the Zionist regime. Still, we see some Muslim countries, all right, not united behind this movement, this anti-Zionist movement. And as one of our comments from our dear viewers said, that we have Zionism among Muslims also. And we see that they do not recognize that the Zionist regime as an illegitimacy of the Zionist regime. They do not recognize it. And those Muslim countries, for example, in Central Asia or in Caucasia, some Arab countries, and the most populated Muslim country, Indonesia, all of them have relationship with Israel. How do you respond to that?
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad. Wa ala alihi tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'asumin. Salawatullah alayhim ajma'in. It is very important to, you know, mention two things.
All right.
First of all, the this regime, an illegitimate regime.
Yes.
And after that, to talk about why those Muslim countries, unfortunately, as you mentioned, they have a relationship with that regime. It is obvious and clear for all Muslims two things, that this regime, okay, is a fake one. Yeah, because before there was not any regime, any garment like this there, okay? All of the Jewish people from different parts of the world were brought to that land,
yes.
Okay? And they established the regime by themselves. None of the, people who were living there committed in any election that they decided to have a kind of regime like that. So by the power of different countries, European, okay, and American countries, okay, they established a type of regime there, and we know as well that this is a fake one.
Yes.
Okay. So you're right, of course, it is not a legal one.
No.
But secondly, why some Muslim countries have a relationship, okay, meanwhile some African countries, as you mentioned, and some even in, the countries that they are in the,
far off,
yeah, of course,
yeah.
Like Venezuela or some other countries,
yes.
Okay, they don't have any relationship with them. I should have said that if you talk with Muslims, okay, and, ask a survey.
In those same countries relationships?
Just I mean all among Muslims first. And after that, we go forward and say all over the world.
All right.
First of all, among Muslim countries, if you talk with their own people, okay, the people, the resident of those countries, when you talk to them, they all, okay, are united in one thing, that the most, hateful regime is the Zionism.
So you mean there is a difference between the governments and the people?
Exactly,
we see a difference there.
Yes.
All right.
Because
government may have economical or political relationship with the Zionist regime, but the people may not.
Yes.
May hate that policy.
They really hate it. I want to explain about my own experience.
All right.
At the time of Hajj, okay, I was in a place that many people around me were from different countries.
Yes.
And of course they all were from Muslim countries. When they knew that I am an Iranian person, they came to me and they wanted to show that we are a company with you.
All right.
Okay, we are thinking the same. And it was not once or twice, all the time when I entered the mosque, okay, and I wanted to take part in ziyarah or something like this.
All right.
Okay, they accompanied me, understand that I am an Iranian, okay, pilgrim.
Yes.
They came to me and they wanted to show they are with us. And for example, they said something that showed they are against Israel.
They wanted to show their solidarity.
Exactly. Right. So what happened that the government is not against them. They have a relationship in politics, economics, okay, or different, aspects. They have a relationship with Israel regime. I say one of them is because these regime, okay, are under the big control and power of the United States, which is the big supporter of the you know, Israel regime in, okay, that land.
May we come back to the points later on in the program? We have Sheikh Ahmad Hanif tuned in. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Now, everyone knows, Sheikh, that the Zionist regime is a tool in the hands of the United States and the British government. But please explain for us why. Why did some Western oppressive powers build the Zionist regime exactly or near the heart of the Middle East, the whole Islamic Ummah? What was the reason behind it?
I think the major reason behind it was that the Zionist regime acted as a colonizing force, an arm of colonialism in the region that was recently seized from the Ottoman Empire.
Yes.
In that region, the prospect of colonialism on a direct level, where it meant, for example, the domination of a Western, an overtly Western power over a non-Western population in terms of personnel and of a settler type of colonialization. When I say settler type, I mean like in Canada, America, Australia, and so on,
yes,
where you have European people who are implanted in a non-European area in order to control it and to live there.
All right.
The Zionist possibility was the only one that was open to them. And the Zionists actually sold that idea to the West.
All right.
You know, that,
but what about the location? Well,
yes,
I mean, why is it near the heart of the Middle East? Why couldn't they build this Zionist regime or entity in Libya or Morocco?
Well, I don't think it's as arbitrary as you might think it sounds, right? First of all, the West is a traditionally Christian environment.
Yes.
You know, they have access to the Bible and so forth.
I see.
So the idea of Palestine or quote-unquote Israel being the homeland of the Jews is something quite appropriate for them to come to the conclusion of. It is not like, you know, Uganda or these other parts of the world that they wanted to settle Jews. You know, they had some sort of biblical precedent in that particular area. You know, and indeed the Zionists also had directly proposed this idea. So it wasn't an arbitrary move at all.
Now, when you say, Sheikh, that it was built to control, what do you mean exactly? To control the governments, neighbors?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you know, in colonialization, you have two types of colonialization.
Right? All right.
You have a colonialization where the colonizing power is not there as an occupying population, right?
Yes.
So this would describe, for example, countries like the Caribbean, many countries in Africa, West Africa, and so forth, where you don't have the presence of a European population. You might have troops, you might have functionaries, but you don't have a population desiring to occupy that region and make it their home. You know, then you have another type of colonization called settler colonization, where you have like Australia, South Africa, Canada, New Zealand, the United States of America, for example, and so on, where you actually have European populations who want to supplant or replace the local population in the area. Well, the Zionist occupying force or the Zionist occupying population falls into the second category.
The settlers.
And it now acts as not only a European population presence in that area, but it also acts as a maintainer of the status quo in that particular area.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's go for a break, dear viewers. Please join us afterwards.
common person, Zionism and Judaism might sound the same thing. However, there is a clear-cut distinction between these two. Judaism is the religion of the Jewish people, based on the belief in one God and on the laws that are contained in Torah and Talmud. The religion and its prophet Moses and believers are respected among Muslims. Zionism, on the other hand, is the so-called movement of a division of Jews that supports the creation of a Jewish homeland in the territory defined as the land of Israel. Yet that territory has been the topic of controversy and dispute between Zionists and Palestinians. Zionists make the false claim that the land of Palestine is the place which was promised to them long ago. Therefore, they don't hesitate to drive out the Palestinians who have lived on that land for many generations. So the term the occupied lands seems to be more appropriate. Zionists who claim they're Jewish have occupied other areas ever since the Arab-Israeli war. They refuse to give them back to the rightful owners under the pretext that the Jewish state is under constant threat from its neighbors. They continue to build settlements in the occupied areas, even at a time when the United Nations condemns it. Having said all that, one might think that occupying the land that belongs to others is promoted by Judaism. This is not true. Real Jewish people are ashamed of the acts that have been done under their name and religion, and strongly condemn the actions of Zionists. Not only does Zionism seek to dominate the occupied lands, it also attempts to increase its dominance all over the world by manipulating a wide variety of people, ranging from politicians to business owners. Huge sums of money are being spent to make governments such as the US and Britain turn a blind eye to the crimes committed by Zionists.
Thanks for watching, dear viewers. You're watching Open Talk, and we are with our experts, one of them, Dr. Dawoodi. Sheikh Dawoodi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to our program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, my sister.
On the website TED.com, this question is posed. Over the last decades, it is obvious that the state of Israel, alongside those with close ties with Hebrew state and the Zionist doctrine, have used the Holocaust card one too many times to justify the unjustifiable. Many Jews feel like a dark chapter in their history has been hijacked to serve extremely powerful lobbies around the world. Perhaps something is happening, something we could call the Peter and the Wolf effect. What do you think, Sheikh?
A very good one. For many times, you know, this topic has been mentioned, and they are really taking use of this this topic, I mean the Holocaust.
Yes.
You know, maybe it happened in the history. It is obvious that something happened, you know. The Jews were oppressed, okay. But unfortunately, they are abusing the topic, unfortunately. And they want to do to oppress the other ones, instead of, you know, the those who have been oppressed many years before.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we want to do something good for them, okay?
Right.
Okay, we shouldn't oppress the other people, okay, instead of those. I remember somewhere I mentioned that in my own countries, we have a proverb that they say a person who committed a crime somewhere, okay, so far away,
yes,
okay, instead of him, they started to kill someone else in another place, yeah?
Yeah.
So it is not good if the Holocaust happened in Europe, why the people in Palestine should compensate for that,
right?
Okay? And they are paying for the bad action of, you know, Nazis in Europe.
True.
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, now I believe that it has been changed to a specific lobby for Zionists, and they are abusing the topic, unfortunately.
And powers and superpowers.
Yeah, of course. This is a tool in their hands, and they never let anyone to talk about it, because, you know, the people are free to research about the history. But unfortunately, in European countries, there are many, we say the people, the researchers, do not have enough freedom to research about this specific topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know. Maybe everything would be clear for them that nothing was like a Holocaust that they mentioned. Okay.
That would seem shameful?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, this is a specific topic in the hand of superpowers, and they want to overcome the land, and they settle the Jews there, and because of that, all the time they call Holocaust as a main source of their oppression in, you know, Palestine.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you. Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, let's go into politics a little bit.
Yes, sir.
What goal could some oppressive governments who were the builders of the Zionist regime have when they created Israel? What goals could they have by building Israel in the heart of Middle East? And how does the Zionist regime threaten its neighbors? For what interest? Or for whose interest?
Well, as I mentioned before, the goal is to establish a projection of European society in the Middle East. It is to place a specific group of people there to settle and dominate the area. Just like, for example, South Africa in the time of apartheid was a major tool of Western control over especially the southern part of Africa.
Excuse me,
where it acted as an imperialist military force to keep the surrounding states in line. Mm. Okay, similarly, the Zionist regime has that particular function.
Now, Sheikh, you're mentioning the Jews who came from the West, but what about the Jews who came from Yemen or the Jews who came from Morocco and Libya and Algeria? Or the Jews from Ethiopia. I mean, they're not Westerners. They're not white.
Right. Well, I mean, of course, you know, it is not blatantly a racial phenomenon.
All right.
Okay? It is about ideology. It's about ideology. You know, I mean, for example, you know, in America right now, you have Obama, who is the president of the United States.
Yes.
That does not mean to say that black people in the United States have now reached a level of social power that they could, that they are shakers and movers of the particular country. Okay.
Yes.
What is important is the ideological affinity, and Zionism is becoming an international ideological phenomenon that is spread among different Jews. And unfortunately, you find that, you know, it takes advantage of the fact that people of Jewish extraction in many parts of the world are not treated properly. They're not treated with any respect or dignity. Just like the Falasha Jews in Ethiopia, for example, were not treated with dignity and so forth. And so therefore, these people, just like European Jews, who were the victims of racial oppression, one has to remember this, okay? They become susceptible to the attraction of Zionism, which says, hey, you know, there's a country for you where you can escape all of this type of discrimination, where you are in charge. Mm. And this is a very important, attractive element for different Jewish populations.
All right, all right. Thank you, Sheikh. Sheikh Dawoodi, now you mentioned one point of those points that you wanted to mention about the Muslim countries having relationship, political and economical, with the Israel entity or the Zionist entity. Could you please mention those points?
Okay.
What could be their interest?
I mentioned that you know, those governments are fully under the control of, you know,
the oppressive superpowers.
Say, yeah, of course, superpowers.
All right.
Unfortunately, and we can give many different examples. You see what happened in, you know, in Egypt, okay? Who was the president of Egypt? for many years, just one person was ruling the country.
I would like to not to mention his name.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Not even, to give him that
even
word.
Really, yeah, right. Even really, we do not want to mention his name. Because he was, you know, it is so shameful that we say, what did he do with his own country? But anyhow, nobody, you know, complained to him that this country, which is completely supported by the, you know, Western countries,
yes.
Okay, is being ruled by one person, so what is the role of democracy here? Mm. Nobody was talking anything about it. So it shows that these countries, because they are following the policy of being with and supporting the Israeli regime, those rulers, that they follow that, they are under the control and support of those superpowers.
Yes.
And we see that even in these countries, okay, they are doing something against their own, you know, religion. And I think this is one of them.
All right.
And even...
I read that the military aid that the U.S. gave to Egypt and still gives was second to Israel only. And even Turkey is among those on the top with military aid, yes.
Yes. We see all of them, we read all of them, we have document, you know, upon them.
Mm.
And I think it is so clear for not only for Muslims, for all of the people in the world. They know why they are supporting those countries, because they are not against Israel.
Mm. If so we're talking about weak governments.
Yeah.
Who are submissive to the superpowers.
Exactly. So, I mentioned my memories, okay, and my own experiences, that when you talk to the people, they clearly say that our government is corrupted.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I do not want to mention those government. But when you are talking to their own people, okay, they mention it completely. They say that we are against, you know, the enemies of Islam, but unfortunately our government is corrupted and we are not with our government.
Yes.
And even, you know, we had a war with Iraqi regime at that time, okay, the time of Saddam.
I would like to listen to that, but let's go back to Ms. Saderian.
Yes, yes, of
and
course.
We're going to come back to you, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah.
All right, Ms. Saderian, what have you prepared for us?
Thanks for that. We will have a pro-Israel talk about full freedom in Israel. Watch it, please.
Egypt, Iran, freedom, and Judaism. What's the connection? What about freedom for the Palestinians? Now, I don't think he actually was seriously expecting an answer, and he was being more cynical, but I'm going to give him an answer. And this is information each and every one of you can use. Yeah, what about freedom for the people who call themselves the Palestinians? Now, let's break this down. There are many Arabs who live in Israel and the areas of greater Israel, biblical Israel. Let's talk about the Israeli Arabs. Israeli Arabs have full human rights, equal rights, electoral rights. They have the rights to be judges and doctors and in the Israeli parliament. Free rights, freedom, total freedom for Israeli Arabs. And that includes total freedom for all the women who are Arabs, total freedom for all the gays who are Arabs. Total freedom, total equality. Oh yeah, let's go to Gaza. Gaza is under control of the Hamas, which is a fundamental Muslim sect, faction. Now, I think they have freedom for their fellow Arabs in Gaza. That's totally, Gaza's under their control, so talk to them if you have any complaints about human equality rights of Arabs in Gaza.
Thanks for your company. Thank you for watching. Let me quote one more time. Before that, Sheikh Hanif, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to our program, Sheikh.
Thank you very much. Wa alaikum salam.
Sheikh, you had this clip, of course, you heard it, I know. Let me quote one more time some parts. There are many Arabs, the presenter, the speaker says, there are many Arabs who live in the areas of biblical Israel. total freedom, total full freedom for Israeli Arabs, for women who are Arabs, and for some men who are Arabs. But Gaza is under the control of Hamas, which is the fundamental Muslim sect and faction. So talk to them if you have any complaints about their rights. Would you please clarify the points here, especially to these speakers?
Well, when you look at the phenomenon of settler colonialism, where one group, a largely European-based group, white Jews,
yeah,
because they have a racist type of relationship to non-white Jews as well, but you have the domination of the ideology of Zionism that is open to all. Okay, you have this group that is occupying a particular land, and it has seized this land from other people.
Yes.
The other people end up being a minority. At that point, that government rationalizes itself and says, okay, we extend all rights and privileges,
yes,
of belonging to this country of ours, this new country of ours, to those minority groups. I'd like you to look at, for example, the role of Australian Aborigines in Australia,
yeah,
American Indians in America, Tasmanians in New Zealand, and so forth, okay? What these people are an oppressed group. It's a group whose land has been taken away from them. Yes,
yes,
they might have rights within that new frame of reference, but they are always minorities. They're minorities in their own land. And this is something that is very, very important. With respect to the outside of Israel, with respect to the occupied territories, you know, why don't the Israelis call for, let's say, they say we're occupying the territories because of our security issues. Why,
yeah,
don't they bring in the United Nations to take the role of where these Israeli soldiers are and so on? And they have developed a certain type of ideology that says that these people are Arabs,
yeah,
and that an Arab is a sort of like a continuum. They can go to any other country, any other Arab country, and fit in. It is like saying, you know, French people are European at the end of the day, so that we can take over France, and French people can go to England or go to Germany or wherever they'd like to, because they're all German. It's a racist argument.
Yes.
You know, it's a racist argument. The fact is that it is Palestinian land that has been occupied, and that Palestinians are trying to resist that occupation.
Yeah.
To use the Arabs in Israel, who are second-class citizens, like American Indians, like Australian Aborigines, as an example of Israeli tolerance, is really obfuscation, is really trying to put a smokescreen,
yeah,
on the acts that they are doing.
Yes, sure. Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you. Unfortunately, they know themselves patriots, not invaders, you know. But actually, we see the fact that it is opposite. Thank you, Brother Wahid.
Thank you. Sheikh Dawoodi, you wanted to add something to the comments of the video clip?
The code that our sister Sadarian mentioned, you know, I want to add something.
All right.
You know, I want to give an example to clarify the situation. Okay, the one who was saying something that they have all different types of freedom, okay, in
right,
that land, it is like a person who steals my jacket, okay, and
all right,
show it to me and say, okay, you are free to do whatever you want to do it with it. For example, you are free to take a look at it, you're free to watch it, you're touch it, you're free to even take a picture with it, except, you know, owning this one. This one belongs to me. It's really a shame, you know.
Shameful argument.
Of course, yeah.
Or like Sheikh Ahmad Hanif said, racist argument.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the reason. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, and thank you.
What about your experience? Now, we have a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Could you please tell us about your experience?
About?
All right, they're telling me that we have 15 minutes. Your experience about the Iran-Iraq war?
Okay, yeah. They are mentioning, you know, something that why some Muslim countries, okay, unfortunately are supporting, you know, even the embassy of Israel regime in their own countries. I wanted to mention even at the time of the war, Iran-Iraq war, okay, this is a specific, document I want to show that even all of the Muslim countries, if they want to accompany their own people with themselves, okay, they want to show themselves that they are against, Zionism.
Zionist regime, all right.
You know, at the time of Zionist, Iranian government were calling the regime of Saddam, who was completely supported by Western countries, exactly,
during the war between
during
those
the war,
two countries.
Yes, yes.
All right.
So Iran was calling that regime that this is the Ba'athi, Zionist regime, and even when they wanted to accompany their own people with themselves, okay, and show that we are, we are in war with a non-Muslim country. They said that, yeah, the Iranian regime is a Zionist regime. Mm. And even in Arabic, they call it Sahyo Khomeinism regime.
Right.
They wanted to show that we are in war with
a pro-Zionist regime.
Yeah, of course,
regime.
Yeah. The regime, which is not a,
so
Islamic.
Somehow these governments who the West supported were also forced to give an Israeli link to those governments that they themselves opposed or made war against, like in this case.
So take a look at all of the, Arab, I don't want to say Arab, but I want to say Islamic countries, that they are located north of Africa,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right.
All of them were supported by, those superpowers, okay? And they didn't mention anything. But what happened to them?
Except Libya,
right. But even in Libya, the people wanted something more,
yes.
Something else, It was not the things that they wanted, that their own government wanted. So it shows that the people of those countries are not accompanying their own government, and their government is completely corrupted, following the policy of those superpowers, unfortunately.
Yes, thank you very much. Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, does the Zionist regime threaten its neighbors, and could we say that it works like a police for the U.S. government or the European governments in the region of Middle East?
Exactly. This is what I was saying before. I was drawing examples with the Zionist regime and the South African apartheid regime, for example. And we can see that the South African apartheid regime exerted military force upon the surrounding countries in South Africa in terms of their struggle for liberation from colonialism. I think the Zionist regime acts as the same type of force in the Middle East, where it is there to make sure that other countries stay in line by economic means, by military means, and by diplomatic means.
I see. Thank you, Sheikh. Let's go over to Sister Sada Ghian. Do you have anything prepared from Skype for us?
Yes, also. Viewer is joining us through Skype, as usual.
Mm-hmm,
yes. Viewers, stay with us. And sorry, we have it connected. Yes. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to our program. Let me ask you the question of our program here. Our topic is Zionism. Judaism rejects Zionism. Now, could you tell us, please, how could we differentiate between these two?
The truth is what it is. They are two very different philosophies. They are as opposite as day and night. Judaism is a religion development among the ancient Hebrews that stresses believing God and faithfulness to the laws of Torah. While Zionism is a political movement for creation and development of a Jewish homeland in Israel. Zionism wants the world to believe that they are representative of the whole entire Jewish people, while they have been never chosen by Jewish people as leaders. The Zionists have deceived many Jewish people via terror and trickery. And Judaism believed that Jewish were exiled because they did a sin. Redemption may be achieved only through prayer and suffering, while Zionism believed that exile can be ended by military aggression. During the century, they did that by torturing Palestinian people, and I think real Jewish people are suffering.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you, sister, for joining. We have a website report on politicstechexchange.com. This is a Q&A site. Sheikh Hanif, the question is here. One of the major issues between Israel and Palestine are Israeli settlements in Palestinian land. Israel keeps building these settlements despite what I understand to be the international that doing so is illegal. I would also expect that this puts the settlers in greater danger. So why does Israel continue to do it? Could you please, Sheikh, mention that danger here? What could it be?
The expansion of Israeli settlements is a natural and expected type of behavior of a settler colony.
Yeah.
They want the aim of a settler colony is to occupy the entire region, the entire land. Now, before, what they used to do was just simply kill out all the natives, just kill them, right? By smallpox, with bullets,
yeah.
You know, with forcible removal, you know, and they just occupy the land. This is how they did it with Canada. This is how they did it with America. This is how they did it with Australia.
Right.
Okay. Today in the 21st century, they can't do it like that. It's just too much media.
True.
Okay. So what they do is they have a creeping type of program where year by year they take over another couple of miles, a few more yards, you know, and build settlements and so forth. And they have the support of the superpowers, or the superpower in the United Nations. And so they don't really care about the United Nations because the United Nations cannot enforce its will.
Indeed, yes. Okay?
This becomes dangerous on two levels. On one level, it's dangerous for the settlers themselves because it creates a hostility among the native populations, quite naturally so, right? Which would respond sometimes with violence.
Yeah.
On the other level, it is dangerous from the point of view of the fact that land is being occupied on an encroaching basis, which ends up disenfranchising people. And mind you, remember that in some of the agreements that they are trying to make with the Israelis and so forth,
yeah.
They are saying that the Palestinians do not have a right to return. It's the only case where you right. find in the modern world today that refugees do not have a right to return back to their original country.
Yes.
So they're taking over the land, you know, and they're setting up certain precedents that can be probably replicated in different parts of the world.
Thank you so much, Sheikh. Yes, indeed. Brother, back to you and go ahead.
Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, let's talk about the Afro-American relationship with the Zionist regime, which you belong to, the Afro-American community. Let me quote from a philosopher by the name of Cornel West, who wrote, "Jews will not comprehend what the symbolic dilemma and literal plight of Palestinians in Israel means to blacks. Blacks often perceive the Jewish defense of the state of Israel as a second instance or example of naked group interest." All right. So my question is it true that Afro-Americans from North America and South America see the occupation of Palestine and the Zionist regime as another white Western power and see it as oppression against colored people?
You know, we can't say African-Americans in general. Because when you look at history, you find a certain type of progression or regression, actually, between, let's say, for example, the 1960s, where they were fighting against American apartheid, You know, yes. And the 21st century, where we have Zionist apartheid, there's a lot of things that have happened in between.
Yes.
In the 1960s, you found that the majority of African Americans, the churches, for example, were anti-apartheid. If you look at, for example, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who was was an icon in the civil rights movement,
true.
And other you know, important personalities in the civil rights movement,
yes.
you found them being very much against Zionism. Malcolm X came out very, very explicitly against Zionism. You know, you had that particular strategy. And what they were looking at is that they were seeing Zionism as the same thing as as a white American settler colonial racism, okay?
Yes.
Now we have the 21st century. In the meantime, the American system, the Zionist system, the media, the churches set up a new dynamic, a new propaganda offensive aimed at changing the point of view of the African American from one that was negative to one that was positive.
Mm-hmm.
Very important in this equation was what we call evangelical Christianity, or as better put, Christian Zionism. And so, for example, you find that in many African American churches, they would speak about the Zionist state as the precursor for the second coming of Jesus.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
That being said, you still have a lot of churches that are anti-Zionist. And a very good example of that would be the church that Obama himself used to go to when he was not president, which he had spent a lot of time and effort to distance himself away in order to make him elected.
I see. So could we see a shift here in the black Afro-American community that people, the majority of them, have become pro-Zionist? You just have a couple of seconds.
Yes, there is a shift like that.
All right. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh Dawoodi, for joining us in the studio. And thank you, Sister Sadiqiyan. That's all for today. Please join us in future programs. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.